Programs, views, claims, and/or representations may not necessarily reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll-free at 888-677-9673. That's toll-free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock here this afternoon, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us, and I'm glad to be back today. Had to be gone last week, and I realize that's the first time I've not been here for one of the Friday afternoon programs in the entire couple of years that we've been doing this, and had to be down in Kentucky for a funeral. My wife's grandfather went to be with the Lord at 101 years old, and what a life. And it was a privilege to be a part of a celebration of his life, and I didn't do anything with the funeral other than be there and escort my wife and be there with other family members. But what a privilege, to know that somebody is with the Lord. And yeah, I've done a number of funerals. I've done funerals for people that I know are saved. I have no reason to doubt that they're not saved. They've got a good testimony, and it's a celebration of life when you know somebody is saved. I've also done funerals for people that had reason to believe they were saved, maybe not 100% sure, but reasonable belief, and certainly reasonable to believe that I'll see them again one day in heaven. And then I've also done some funerals for people that I had good reason to believe weren't saved, and I have to say those are the hardest ones to do. As when you think about death, death fundamentally is a separation, and so we might start talking about that here a little bit at the onset of the program. But if you've got a question, we are live today. I'm in the studio, and our telephone is available. You can give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. That's a toll-free number. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you today. And let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer here this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for a beautiful day today, Lord. Thank you that I was able to be a part of helping my wife's family as they celebrate the homegoing of her grandfather last week. And just pray that you just help anybody that's listening today that might be facing similar situation in their life, knowing that if your loved one trusted Christ as their Savior, they can be assured that they'll see them in heaven, not because they've been a good person or not because they just have a hope, but because they put their faith in Jesus Christ as their only means of salvation, believing that the blood that Jesus shed upon the cross was shed to pay for our sins. And Lord, if there's one that's listening today that's never trusted Christ as their Savior, they don't have that hope that I'm talking about, that hope that many of our listeners share, and we just pray that the Holy Spirit would touch their heart and open their eyes to the truth of the gospel message, that they could put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior as well. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I said, it's good to be back on the air here today this week. And again, my thanks to Pastor John Lutz for filling in for me last week, pastor of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio. He's got the program that precedes us, and he is usually here live each week as well. And he was able to stay another half hour last week and fill in for me, so I appreciate that. And as soon as I can get around to it, we'll have that program as well as this one and previous programs, of course, on our website, live.maplenoll.us. That's live.maplenoll.us. And you can listen to those if you missed the program or didn't hear the whole program or want to hear one again. It's available there as an MP3 file, I believe. And we'll get them up as soon as we can. At any rate, talking about death, I was thinking about that too coming up here today, and it's coming into actually one of my favorite times of the year. autumn. I love this time of year. You don't have that oppressive heat. I'm not somebody who really just wants to be in a sweltering environment all the time. I always thought it was a great sense of humor that the Lord displayed in sending my wife and I as missionaries to the Samoan Islands, where we were about 11 degrees south of the equator. I mean, we were right there in the heart of the tropics. And as somebody who's not a big fan of a lot of heat and humidity, actually that was better than some places, because really it didn't get much into the above the mid 90s as a general rule while we were there. But the humidity never got much below the mid 90s actually. But I love this time of year when the trees are changing color and just the variety every day, a little bit different. But it's kind of a melancholy time of the year as well, because as you're watching all the summer flowers are peaked and beginning to, many of them beginning to dry up and go to seed, and the fields are beginning to dry up, the soybeans and corn and stuff, fields are getting dry, and people are getting ready for the onset of winter here in not too distant future, unfortunately. And like I said, it's kind of a melancholy time of the year because we know that winter's coming. But at the same time, the variety and the cooler weather and everything today, just for instance, absolutely gorgeous day here in Northeast Ohio, and the trees just starting to show their colors. It's really a beautiful time of the year. And the variety and change that you see constantly, having spent 4 years living in the tropics there, when we were in the Samoan Islands, it's you know, there's variety, but it's a lot the same. You know, just month after month after month, it's like the land of eternal summer. If you like heat and humidity, it's a good place to go. But I like the variety, the change of the seasons. Somebody once said that God gave us here in Northeast Ohio just enough of each season to get tired of it so that we'll look forward to the next season. There's a lot of truth to that. And yet, as I said, autumn is kind of a melancholy time of the year because we know that winter is coming, and we see the death of the plants, the flowers and all that, and the trees losing their leaves and going dormant, waiting for the winter snows and winds and everything. But of course, we know that spring comes after that. And you start thinking of the cold of winter, and for a lot of people, that reminds them of death. And really, death is not something that God originally planned for in his creation. Now, when I say originally planned for, God made provision for death entering into the world. And he made a way to have victory over death through Jesus Christ. But death was not in the original plan that God had for mankind. The Bible tells us in the first book of the Bible, Genesis, which of course has to do with origins, the Genesis of the world, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And I believe that's a reference to the spiritual realm, where God created the angels to indwell the spiritual realm. And I believe earth includes earth and the physical realm that earth was placed within, where God then, on the sixth day, created Adam and then placed him there, and then later that day created Eve from Adam's side and placed her there and gave them the command to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. And in the garden that he planted, that you can read about in Genesis chapter 2, what we call the Garden of Eden, the Bible calls the Garden of Eden, we understand that God put two trees in the garden, and one of them was a tree of life. The other one was a tree called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And this is what God said about that in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Now, this is a thing that has perplexed many people down through the centuries. What does this mean? Why did God do this? And the understanding of this comes when you realize that God created us with a will. He gave us a will in which we are free to make a choice. Adam and Eve had the opportunity to choose to obey God by not eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or they had the opportunity to choose to disobey God by eating from the forbidden tree. And in order to have a free will, or you have to have choices. And in order to have choices, there has to be options, more than one option. And I think I may have said this before, in the studio in which I'm sitting right now, there are two doors. I could go out through one door or the other door. I have an option. I can choose to leave by either of those two doors. If there was only one door, I would have no choice, and I would be forced to only leave by the one door that was available to me. But there are two doors. Now, people get in all kinds of trouble when they try to sort some of these things out sometime, and you have one extreme where people elevate our free will to a greater degree than what the Bible presents it. And then you have the other extreme where people say that we have no free will at all. As an example of that, I remember talking to one gentleman, and he said in his opinion, it was God's will that Adam would choose to disobey God and eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that he was forbidden to eat from. And he said that Adam had no choice because God had determined before he created Adam that Adam should do that. And I said, well, if you believe that, then you have to believe that God also chose for Lucifer, who's described in the Bible as probably one of the chiefest of the angels that God created. It was God's determination that Lucifer would sin and become the devil. But I don't think the Bible presents that. I think the Bible presents exactly what we see here. God gave Adam a free will. See, Adam was created in the image of God. And this is what flummoxes people sometimes. They stumble over this idea that Adam is created in the image of God. And we see that, of course, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 27. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, when God created Adam in his image, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, Lord God formed a man out of the dust of the earth, or dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, we see God presented in the Bible as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Spirit, we understand, we can see let me get back to the passage here before I get ahead of myself. We can see that God formed man out of the dust of the ground. He gave him a physical presence. And we see in the Bible that God, in the person of the Son, in the person of Jesus Christ, is the physical manifestation of God, the way that God interacts with the material realm that he created. And that's exactly what he gave to Adam, a physical manifestation where he could interact with the physical realm that God created. And then we see that he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That's the spiritual aspect of Adam, and that, of course, corresponds to the spiritual aspect of God, God the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, that leaves one aspect left. Man became a living soul, and that would equate to Adam's mind, his intellect, his emotion, and his will. And that corresponds to God the Father, who we can see represents the will and the intellect and the emotion and all of God right there. So God is one God. He's not three separate gods, as the Jewish people or the Muslims or others would accuse us of believing when we talk about the Godhead or the Trinity. He's not three separate gods. He's one God, but he has three parts to his being. And he created Adam in his image, one man, Adam, with three parts to his being: physical, the body; spiritual, his spirit; and his intellectual, emotional, will portion, which would be the soul. And he's in his image. But as you can see, when God said he was going to create Adam in his own image, he told him to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it. He gave him things to do. And of course, he had a will that he could choose to do those things. And obviously, to have a choice, just like I have a choice as to which door I can exit this studio, Adam had to have the choice to do or to not do. And that's what the tree of the knowledge of good and evil represented. That represented his option to choose to obey God or to choose to disobey God. Now, the angels had some other option given to them. I believe that God created them with a free will. That's how Lucifer became Satan, the devil. And he exercised his free will, and he made the wrong choice. He rebelled against God. About a third of the angels, the Bible indicates, rebelled against him. That affected the spiritual realm primarily. But he then tempted Eve. After Eve was created, she also had the choice, but she was tempted. But the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, "Wherefore as by one man," that's referring to Adam, "sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And that was because Adam was made a sovereign over the earth under God. He was like an under governor over the earth, by God's decree there. He chose to switch his allegiance when he disobeyed God, and he ended up joining forces with the devil in the sense that he disobeyed God, he rebelled against God. Now, we know, of course, that Eve was the one in Genesis chapter 3 that was tricked by the devil into eating the forbidden fruit. We understand that. But she gave the fruit to Adam, and he willingly chose to disobey God. And that's where sin entered into the world, and death by sin. As I said at the beginning of the program, it was not God's desire for there to be death in the world. But God had already made a plan. And because God, in his foreknowledge, foresaw the option of Adam disobeying him, and I'm not going to make the Calvinistic mistake of saying, well, that's because God decreed that that would be so, and that makes God the author of sin, which my Bible says that God cannot sin. He cannot lie. He is not the author of sin. That is the devil. It's the bad choice of Adam as the forefather of the entire human race that plunged the human race into sin and brought death in. Now, God had told Adam that in the day that they ate of the forbidden fruit, he would surely die. Many people say, well, he didn't die. The Bible says he lived for hundreds of years after that. How could he die? Well, he died spiritually, and you can see that in Genesis chapter 3. And this is why we need a Savior. In Genesis chapter 3, after Adam's sin, the Bible says that they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden, here in Genesis 3:8, in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid himself from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" Now, God knew where Adam was. He just simply wanted Adam to admit that he was separated from God and that he was hiding from God. And that's what we need to do today. We need to admit that we're separated from God, and that spiritually we're dead, and that we need Christ as our Savior. We need the sacrificial blood that Jesus spilt upon the cross as he suffered and died to pay for our sins applied to us as our sacrifice for sin, so that we can be made spiritually alive in Christ and we can have our sins forgiven and we can be given the promise of a home in heaven. And God will save us from our sins if we'll confess our sin and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Well, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. 888-677-9673 is our phone number, and we have Nancy calling in. Nancy, we got 5 minutes. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. We always like to hear about the story of Adam and Eve and the tree of knowledge. You know, some people call it apple tree. One thing that's always bothered me, and I really like your educated opinion on this, they always picture Eve as lacking discernment, that she is almost, that she was tricked by the serpent, the devil,
right,
into eating it. Like, she's not quite as smart as Adam. Now, he knew definitely that he was committing a grievous sin, but they always seem to imply, and to people that interpret the Bible, that she lacked discernment if she was deceived. Now, why wouldn't she know? Wasn't it clearly presented that you are not to eat this and if you will surely die? Wouldn't she understand that as much as Adam?
Oh, absolutely. And I believe that Eve was every bit as smart as Adam. I don't think that she was lacking in any way, shape, or form. But we do see in Genesis chapter 3, the devil, worked at it. And I don't think chapter 3 represents the only time that Eve was approached. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse number 3, Paul writes, he says, "But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." So he's saying that, speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's talking about how the devil, in the form of the serpent, beguiled. He through his subtlety, he tricked Eve. He deceived her. He convinced her. And you can see how he did it here in Genesis chapter 3. The progression is very clear. It says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." And you see that the devil disguised himself. I don't believe that every time the devil tempts somebody, he pops up, wearing, red long johns and a tail and a pitchfork and horns sparkling in the firelight.
Deceiver.
Yeah.
And also he's a con artist.
Exactly. And that's the next thing. You see him disguised as the serpent, and then he deceives her by saying, let's see here, he was more subtle. He was a deceiver. That's what we talk about, being subtle there. And then the key is he got her away from what God said so that she began to doubt what God said. Oh. Yea, hath God said. And that's what the devil does today. Many people are kept from coming to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ today because they simply, they look at the Bible and they say, I don't know. Is that really God's word? Because fundamentally, everything I know about God comes from the Bible. And if I did not believe the Bible was God's word, I couldn't do this program. If I did not believe that the Bible presents spiritual truth, I could not do this program. And what the devil did over a period of time, I believe he got her to doubt. And one of the things that he got her doing was to look at the fruit and even touch it, because when she began to doubt what God said, she started adding to the scriptures. Well, he said, we can't eat it or we can't even touch it, lest we die. And then when she handled it and she didn't die, she must have thought, well, maybe God's holding out on me. He's keeping something from us.
Well, know what I just happened to think? Yeah. She didn't have a Bible to look at. She didn't have any other references.
No, but she had the presence of God.
Wasn't she the first person that encountered Satan? Wasn't
that's what we see. That's what we see. I hear the music, Nancy.
You're
going to have
to let you
have to go there. But Eve had God directly to talk to. She should have went to God, and should have sought God. That's what we need to do today. We need to put our faith and trust in God, believe His word. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The devil wants to take God's word away from you. That's why he's attacked the Bible so much today. And that's why I hold to the King James Version of the Bible in the English language, because it's God's word preserved so that we can trust Christ as our Savior. You need to do so, or it's everlastingly too late. Goodbye. Have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The preceding program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield.
The preceding program's views, claims, and/or representations may not have necessarily reflected those of AM 1220. The